amazing thing that Christ would leave what He had to come get what He got? Amazing thing He left His world to come to ours. I sure am glad He did. Boy, the marvels of Calvary never quit marveling me. I sure am glad He still loves old sinners. You know, the liberal gospel tonight say that the gospel will put a new suit on an old man. But our gospel says that it'll put a new man in a new suit. And I'm glad that the power of the gospel changes lives. And I bless Him and thank Him for that tonight. Brother Randy's on vacation this week, and so I think all of our teachers are covered. If not, one of y'all come up, and I'm going to designate Brother Lee tonight. Y'all come grab him and let him teach whatever class needs to be taught. Amen. It's a 3 to 6 year old, let's whoop young'uns all night. Amen. All right, let's go to our classes tonight. Amen. This evening, turn with us. Thank you, Brother Will. If you have a Bible this evening, turn with us to the book of Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 6. And let's read about 3 verses this evening, found in verses number 5 through number 7. Matthew Gospel, chapter number 6. Let's read verses 5 through 8. Matthew 6, 5 through 8. If you're there tonight, say amen. And Jesus said, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. But verily I say unto you, ain't no word sweeter than Jesus. They have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. When thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret. And thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask Him." Thank you for standing tonight. Father, we sure do love you. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege to come, as Brother Adam has already prayed tonight. Thank you, God, we can be in an old-fashioned church this evening. God, with an old-fashioned God and an old-fashioned Bible. Thank you, Lord. I pray now you let preaching be easy. Let us be a blessing to the people tonight. Lord, many prayer requests have been spoken in that room over there. You heard each one. You know about each one. And I pray now you'd touch and do like only our God can do. And we'll be grateful for you in everything you do. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Tonight on the topic of the reality of prayer, we've been trying, as we've been in now about 3 weeks, been trying to stay in this thought of that of to do with praying. We've been trying to preach in a series on Sunday morning on the home. I hope that that's challenged many of us. But tonight, I don't know of a better topic that I could select to try to teach upon would be that of that of prayer. I have done a lot of things since I've been saved that I felt like has brought me in a closer walk with Christ. But nothing have I ever done that has affected my life more than the topic of prayer. I think many times I can get my Bible and steal away and study and I won't have many interruptions. But it seems nearly every time that I get by myself and pray, there are many interruptions. Well, a light ought to come on to realize that if what I'm doing is bothering the devil, I need to keep on doing it. So if I could do anything and say anything, could teach anything to our congregation, when you don't have a preacher, you can pray. When you can't get to church, you can pray. When you don't have a Bible to look at, you can pray. When you're in school or wherever you are, at your work, you can pray. But I ask you tonight, do you know how to pray? We find this text on the reality of prayer. We see verses 5 and 6. There's a disciplined preparation in prayer. A disciplined preparation. He said 5 through 6, and when thou prayest. Well, we ought to be the people that would pray. And then there's a devotional realization in prayer. He said in 6 and 7, he said, now, when thou prayest, enter in the closet, and when you have shut the door, pray to thy Father that's in secret, and your Father which sitteth in secret shall reward thee openly. I like rewards, don't you? Not only a disciplined preparation in prayer and a devotional realization in prayer, but a determined expectation in prayer. In verse number 8, be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of, even before you ask. There's a lot of, I guess, a lot of reasons that we need to pray, but tonight I want to teach on this simple subject on how to get your prayers answered. I think a lot of times we wonder why God don't answer our prayers. Now, I thank God for some He hadn't answered. But there's some that I'm praying, that I've even prayed today that I've not seen Him answer yet. And I think a lot of times we get so discouraged when we don't see anything happen. But I want to let you know that there are just really five basic things I'd like to share with you this evening on how to get our prayers answered. Number one, and you always remember this, it's first and foremost, our desires must be His desires. Now, there's no way we're going to get a prayer answered if it's not His desire for our life. God is so caught up in individuals. A lot of people think, well, you know, we're so little in the spectrum of things. But let me tell you something. He said, when you pray to your God, I'm glad He's an individual God tonight. And I'm glad He's concerned about what's good for you and what's good for me. How many times have you prayed a prayer if God would have answered it, it would have took you right out of the will of God? And let me ask you tonight, life is hard enough in the will of God, much less out of the will of God. Now, I want to say our desires must be His desires. Look in Colossians chapter number 3. I hope you'll take some notes tonight. I'll be real brief. But in Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 1, I want to keep things very simple tonight. Take a look in Colossians 3 and verse number 1. Colossians 3 verse number 1. If ye then be risen with Christ. In other words, if you have been saved, you've been placed in Christ, your life's become anew because you've trusted Christ as your Savior. Then He says, this is what I want you to do. Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. So we know where He is tonight. Set your affection on things above. Not on things on the earth. We become earthly individuals. And we, by being earthly individuals, if you're not careful, you'll become worldly individuals. Now, for ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. He says this now in 1 John 5 and verse number 14, not only seeking things above, but in 1 John 5 and verse number 14. Now, John is writing and he's an old man now. God has inspired him to put this down. He said in 1 John 5, verse 14, and this is the confidence that we have in Him. He says, I want you to know you can have confidence in God. Aren't you glad we can be confident in Him? That if we ask anything, now I want you to look what He just said. If we ask anything according to His will, then, quite simply, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we're desired of Him. Now, I want to ask you something tonight. Basic fundamental things in the Bible. What is the will of God for us in our life? The Bible teaches that. I've taught this sermon here once a time, and I try to say this to remind us and to reflect back on it. But I can take the Bible and show you cordially what is the universal will for everybody in this building. But however, God has a different will in things in my life than He does for you. He's not willing that every one of you be a preacher. He's not willing for every one of us to be a school teacher. But we do know by reading the Word of God, there are some things that we know what is the will of God. So if I ask Him, He said if it's according to His will, He would grant that to us. Well, you know what His number one will is for universally everybody in this building? Is that all would be saved. Therefore, if I know, if I'm a sinner and I ask Christ to save me, His Word tells me He would save me. For He's not willing that any would perish, but all come to repentance. So you've got to see yourself as a sinner in need of a Savior. I'm not talking about turning into religion. I'm not talking about turning over a new leaf. I'm talking about, friend, realizing you're going to die and go to hell without Christ and your sins, and you need a Savior, and by faith you call upon Him. In return, He saves you by His amazing grace. It's a wonderful thing to be saved. He said, if you'd ask me, I'll do it. So it's His will that we be saved. Young person, listen to me. Eternity is too long to be wrong. You may not live to be my age. You can't show me that in the Word of God where that's guaranteed for you. And it's no place in the Word of God where it's guaranteed that I'll live past tomorrow. So therefore, we have all got to be ready. And the only way we can be ready is through Christ Jesus, who is the only way of salvation in this book. Now, He's willing that we'd be saved. Number two, He's willing that we would be Spirit-filled. If you want to have a closer walk with Christ, He says, if you'll ask me, I'll grant it. Wouldn't that be a blessing if everybody come in here Sunday Spirit-filled? Number three, it's His will that we be sanctified, that we set apart for the Master's use. He said, come out from among them and be ye separate. We don't preach a hate gospel. We preach a gospel that says separate from the world. Be different. Be yourself, but be different than the world. How can you win anybody to Jesus being just like them? Number four, it's His will that we say thank you in all things. Give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning Christ Jesus in you. In other words, we ought to be willing to say, Lord, thank you for the good church you've given me to come to. Lord, thank you for my family that it's good as it is tonight. Thank you for these clothes on my back. Thank you for the food on my table. It is His will concerning you to say thanks. And then it is His will many times for us to suffer, and we don't understand that. I have found this out, that God is more interested in my holiness than my health. You'll hear a lot of boys on TV, well, if you'll send them your money, they'll guarantee you health and wealth. They must not read Job. Said it wouldn't. Said I couldn't write about nobody else. Said there wasn't nobody like him. But he lost everything he had. But that wasn't the end of the story. God gave him double back for everything he took. Just like our God, he loves to divide before he adds. I thank God for that tonight. So our desires must be his desire. If you're here tonight, if you want to be saved, you can be. We need to watch and are praying, be sure that it is his desire. We ought to be praying. Remember, I taught last Wednesday night. There are two things that are two individuals that help us in praying. One's the Holy Spirit in our heart. The second one is the Son that is in heaven. Now the Spirit in Romans chapter number 8, I think it's verse 26, said he makes utterings and groanings that we can't even talk about for us. So the Holy Spirit that lives in us as a Christian, when we have this quiet time and we're praying, as the Spirit begins to pray in us, he takes it to the Son, and the Son intercedes it to us for the Father. The Father takes and sends the Spirit back to us, and it's a full circle, it's a full cycle. You know why you've got great desires in your heart that you never really thought about? God put some in there. And God wants those desires to come to pass that would honor and glorify His Son and His kingdom. I never one time thought about being a preacher or a pastor or going and preaching meetings. That's the last thing I ever thought about when I was 20 years old. But now that I've got saved, God has put those things in my spirit by His Spirit and has me to pray in those directions, and that's the will of God for me. And so therefore I must be praying that the will of God be in my life. Some to you, God has got you placed in an occupation exactly where He wants you to be. A lot of times you wonder, well, God, why have you got me here? Well, have you ever noticed something? A little light goes a long way in some bad, bad, dark places. It may be the will of God for you to be exactly where you are in your job, that you just simply turn a light on. Let me tell you, if they can't see it in you, where else could they get it from? They don't go to church. So God does many miraculous and strange things that we know nothing about, that the Spirit prays through us, that we can't even comprehend or think. But as we pray, the Spirit prays for us many times. Now, that's not lay me down to sleep type praying. I'm talking about getting alone with God and putting your needs and yourself out on a table and saying, God, I'm honest and this is what I need in my life. So we have the Spirit that helps us and the Son that helps us in our praying. Tonight I want to ask you, always let your desire be His desire, because we know that if they are His desire, He hears us. Aren't you glad He don't hear us if it's not His desire for us? How many times have you thought it was the perfect will of God for you to do something? You prayed and prayed and prayed and it never did happen. But now you look back and say, oh Lord, thank you for not doing that for me. Well, we've got a good God tonight. And how to get our prayers answered, our desires must be His desires. Number two, our doubts must be removed. We doubt God a lot. Hebrews 12 and verse number 1. Our doubts must be removed. Hebrews chapter number 12 and verse number 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, now let us lay aside the sin which doeth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that's set before us. Now, what about that besetting sins? Men who didn't believe God many times in the Bible lost out on the blessing. Now, those besetting sins, one is the sin of doubt. Boy, a lot of times we doubt God. Now, he says this in 1 Timothy, and watch what he says in 1 Timothy chapter number 2 and verse number 8. 1 Timothy 2 and verse number 8. He said, I will, his will, therefore, that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. What are you saying? He says, well, I will that men would pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without animosity and doubting. He don't want us to doubt. In Hebrews 11 and verse number 6, Hebrews 11 and verse number 6, he says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. He says, you can do everything under the sun, but if you don't have faith, you can't please. You know when this church pleases God? It's when we're trusting Him when we can't see Him. You know when you're pleasing God at your house and in your situation? When you're trusting the God of this Bible when you can't see Him or feel Him. But you can take His word to the bank, friend. Now by faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Diligently means to search out. So our doubts must be removed. I want to say this. Look in Mark 9 and 23, and I want to make a statement right here, and I hope it'll turn a light on to you. In Mark 9 and 29. For sake of time, I won't read the whole story. I'm going to pull this one verse out of Luke 9, verse number 23. I'm sorry, Mark 9. Let me get my Bible right. I knew something wasn't reading like my notes was. Mark 9 and 23. Okay. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. He said, if you can believe, he said, I can do anything for you. Now I want to make this statement. Nothing is beyond the reach of prayer but that which is outside the will of God. Can I say that again tonight? Nothing is beyond the reach of prayer except that which is outside the will of God. I'm glad we've got a God that'll give us what we need. Now, our desires must be His desires. Our doubts must be removed. It's hard to trust something you can't see. But I can tell you this, the older that you'll walk with the Lord, the Bible said that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If our faith is weak, we're not hearing enough. Now, what you may say sometimes, well, the preacher's done said that, or the preacher's done preached that. Well, listen, just because we sing Amazing Grace, verse 57, we don't get done with it and tear it out of our book. We sing it over and over and over again. Faith cometh by hearing, not faith by heard. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Our desires must be His desires. Our doubts must be removed. But number three, and this is pretty tough, our debtors must be forgiven. Back to the text verse of Matthew 6. Matthew 6 and verse number 14. Matthew 6, verse number 14. Our debtors must be forgiven. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Now, he has put this at the end of the Lord's Prayer. He starts in verse number 8, and look what he says. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask Him. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. He said, here's the pattern you ought to be praying. Our Father which art in heaven, I'm glad I know where He is tonight. Hallowed be Thy name, or holy, or reverend be Thy name. Listen, I'm not Reverend Bowman. Don't never let nobody hoodwink you with that phrase. There's one that's reverend. Holy and reverend is His name, what the Bible says. Hallowed be Thy name, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Woo! And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Sometimes I don't like what I find in my Bible. Lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Now, in Ephesians 4 and verse 26, watch this. Boy, here's a great nugget verse. Ephesians 4 and 26. About our debtors must be forgiven. Ephesians 4 and 26. He says, you ought to underline this, be ye angry and sin not. It's okay to be angry at things. He said, I just don't want you to sin when you get angry. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Though saying, married couples, you should never go to bed mad at each other. That's where it come from, the Bible. Neither give place to the devil. The reason a lot of us got devil trouble, because we asked him to come on up in here. Now, verse 32, watch your Bible. And be ye kind one to another. In other words, you always remember this. A man that has friends must show himself friendly. Brother Ken, I don't feel like I'm a part of the church. It's your fault. Get up and get acquainted with people. Say amen right there. Now he says, be ye kind one to another. Tender-hearted. Time out. You ever seen how cube steak is derived? A lot of times it goes through a thrashing machine. I've noticed the older that we walk with the Lord, if we're really right with Him, He put tenderizer on our heart. And some of you that are young and full of vinegar tonight don't have no mercy in you. Hang on. There's some things that can come that'll make your heart tender. He says, be ye kind one to another, tender hearted. In other words, let it touch yours. Forgiving one another. Even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Let me ask you something. Where in that verse does it say they got to come to you and ask forgiveness first? It is your responsibility to forgive others. And let me tell you, that's hard when they got their mouth on you. If you're a redneck. It's a lot easier to forgive somebody if they say, I'm sorry, but what if they ain't said, I'm sorry? Let me tell you what, you've got an option. You can forgive them and move on, or you can let them consume you. Because I can tell you this, according to this verse and the verse that I give you earlier, if you've got an ought with somebody, they're closer to God than you are. You know why? Because they're between you and God. That's just country boy math. Forgive one another. Let me ask you something. For Christ's sake, I have forgiven you. Has He forgiven anybody here of anything? Now our debtors must be forgiven. Hebrews 12, verse 14. Man, here's a powerful passage. Hebrews 12 and verse number 14. Underline it. Hebrews 12, 14. Follow peace with all men. In other words, don't try to stir up something. Don't go hunting trouble, friend. It'll hunt you. I declare, I believe I could be in a corn crib with blinders on and trouble would find me. I'd find a mouse stick his head through the floor cracks and stick his tongue out at me. Follow peace with all men. Watch this now. And holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springle up, trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Let me tell you what. Beyond bitter is a whole lot better. You can tell people that's eat up with bitterness. That's all's on their mind. They take a bitter pill for breakfast, eat a bitter sandwich for lunch, have a drink of bitter milk before they go to bed. Bitter, bitter, bitter. Somebody's done me wrong. Bitter, bitter, bitter. Look what it says. And this thing about the root of bitterness, it just don't lay there. It springs up and it'll bring you trouble. That's why when somebody does you wrong, you need to forgive them right then. Don't let that thing grow in your heart. Quit trying to get even. Who wants to get even? Get ahead. Move on. Move on. Why let them drag you down? Those saying you can lead a horse to water, friend, but you can't make him take a drink. Do all you can do and move on. How to get our prayers answered? Our desires must be His desires. That ought to change our prayer. Lord, if this is Your will now, if not, show me. Lord, help me be praying with the right desires. I don't want to be praying for something's wrong. I'm going to tell you, me and my wife, I've mentioned it two or three times in sermons, but me and my wife has been praying about a thing that we felt like we'd enjoy together. I think I really wanted it more than she did. I usually do. But this is the way I've started praying. God, if that's not good for me, close that door. Let me tell you folks tonight at Liberty, there's nothing like being close to Jesus. And there's nothing that feels as bad being away from Jesus if you're saved. I want to be right with Him. And I don't want nothing in my life that'll lead me away from the will of God for my life. Nothing. So I ask you, our desires must be His desires. Our doubts must be removed. Our debtors must be forgiven. But fourthly, in verse number 6 of Matthew 6, our doors must be shut. Our doors must be shut. Matthew 6 and verse number 6. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, He's talking about a private place, about a secret place. Because if your closet's like my closet, you can't get in there and lay down no word. When thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. Our doors must be shut. Have we not all secret sins? secret wants, secret temptations? And should we not have secret prayers adapted to each? I doubt if anybody here tonight, to clarify my statement, having secret temptations and wants and sins, would anybody want to get up here in front of the assembly tonight and pray publicly about each one of those things? That's why we need to close the door and pray to the Father in secret and have secret prayers that are adapted to each temptation. Close the door. Have private time with God. Have a place where you can come away from this world and pray. Our doors must be shut. Lastly, our determination must be set. Our determination must be set. Now, look in Luke 18. It's always been one of my favorite passages on prayer. Luke 18. And verse number 1. Luke 18. Verse number 1. I want everybody to get there tonight that can. I want you to look at this passage of Scripture in Luke 18 and verse number 1. How to get our prayers answered. Our desires must be His desire. Our doubts must be removed. Our debtors must be forgiven. Our doors must be shut. But lastly, our determination must be set. He says this, He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray, not to faint. Saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. There was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet, because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her. I looked that word up this evening, avenge. It simply means to provide. I will provide her or avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. Shall not God avenge His own elect, which cry day and night unto Him, though He bear long with them? I tell you that He will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall He find faith on the earth? Our determination must be set. In James 1 and verse number 2, James 1 and verse number 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers or different temptations or experiences, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. And let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. In other words, is he divided between God and the world? Oh, tonight our determination must be set. You know what the devil will tell us? God's not going to answer your prayer. Quit praying. Well, why would God have us to continue in prayer? Well, one, it helps us in our patience. It helps us in our in our fellowship with the Lord Jesus. Praying always gets you closer to God. Praying to change your life. If God answered our prayer every time we prayed, we wouldn't pray too much, would we? You know, in the parable, you know how they got their prayer answered? They didn't give up praying. They went there every day. Every day. Consistent. Every day. Man, I've been praying about a situation now for, I guess, nearly 6 years. And just yesterday, I got a text about that situation. Man, my hope is so tuned up. I tell you, y'all may hear a crazy man out in Burwell when God answers that prayer. And Sherry, come tonight if you would, sister. I want to say something publicly. I appreciate a lady that'll be faithful on an instrument. I appreciate families that'll be dedicated to come on a Wednesday night. You don't know how good it does you, pastor's heart, to see you sit there tonight. But let me tell you something. Our church is never going to be stronger than its homes and its prayer life. Have you been praying wrong? Some of you tonight, if you've never been saved, wouldn't it be a wonderful night to call upon Jesus that not only can save you, that will save you? I don't care what you've done. I don't care if your sins is mounted above the stars of heaven. He said the blood of Jesus would cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Wouldn't it be a blessing for you to come bow on an altar tonight, call upon God to save you, give you a home in heaven? Christian, let me ask you something. Have you about give up on praying? Would you come ask God tonight to rekindle that hope, that desire in your heart that you need to be praying about? Do you know the will of God in your life? Be a good night to come ask Him about it. This altar is open. My sister's playing tonight. We'll close this service this way. Whatever you need this evening, you come.